This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
That's right. The race is on in Blacksburg. We said 9 o'clock. Hokey Hokey High went at 8:58. Ladies and gentlemen, the Virginia Tech president, Dr. Tim Stands, is at the podium as Brent Pry is introduced. Well, actually now Dr. Stands has wrapped up his remarks, so Whit Babcock, the director of athletics, is going to be the one to greet us here on ACC Network.
And like all of you watching, I'm excited to see how the story unfolds under Coach Pry's leadership. We feel great about our chances with this new direction and energy. And again, welcome to all. Before I go much further, I want to also recognize and thank a few people, beginning with our players, right? Our students at Virginia Tech that just happened to be able to play football at an incredibly high level. What they've been through the last couple years, all that athletics teaches them. I was so happy that they could feel victory and enjoyment and unity with that win over UVA. We talk about creating memorable experiences, and that certainly was one. And I look forward to them having another opportunity in the bowl. And just, again, incredibly proud of those young men as if I were their parent. I'm also incredibly proud and want to thank J.C. Price, how much he cares, holding us together, still is. Leading, and then he came up with the quote, right, this is my school, this is home, that's it. So we will get some rights off of the NIL of JC on that one. He one-upped our tagline there. I also want to thank the coaching staff that's currently here that will coach the bowl game with JC and those coordinators during difficult times, right? They're in uncertain times. Their people, their families behind them, and the professionalism they showed to invest in these young people, I certainly want to tip my cap to that. So again, this staff will coach the bowl. Coach Pry will get up and running. Our current group will stay in the building. We'll have Coach Pry and some of his staff as they come in here in the stadium operating separately. I certainly want to thank Dr. Sands. The direction, alignment and commitment is a huge reason we're successful and will be so in the future at Virginia Tech, from the board to the president to the athletic department, the deans, so on and so forth. This is a special place to be. I also want to thank our fans and donors, big and small fans, our donors. You've helped us greatly enhance our assistant coaching pool, our recruiting infrastructure, which we will now launch into the very top tier of the ACC. If you're not yet on board, we need you to help us get past our drive for 25. We need you. Momentum is a powerful thing. And as Coach Beamer used to like to say, we're all in it together. And I dang sure know good things happen when we're all pulling in the same direction. I want to thank our department and campus staff that worked so hard behind the scenes during these past few weeks. I certainly want to thank Amy, Colby, Madeline, and Catherine Pry for coming, right? It takes a village, and for them to uproot and come, thank you for having that faith in us. And you have a community here ready to welcome y'all with open arms. Coach Pry, certainly want to thank him. He has been incredibly selective on the job front. This was one that interested him. A lot of people know this is a great job, but for him, it was because it was this job at Virginia Tech, and that certainly stood out. We also certainly like the circle of Coach Pry, Price and Pry, Coach Pry, the circle of his career. It started here, and we certainly hope it will finish here. It's a wonderful story from our history to now making new history. So when we started our process, Coach Pry was in our original three. We had 3 to 5. It ebbed and flowed a little bit. We Zoomed with him first. Some head coaches after that, another coordinator, but the bar was set from the get-go. It's really nice to get into a search and have somebody that does so well. They're the bar that you consider for everyone else, and he certainly stood out. He was very well prepared. It was his resume and coaching experience, certainly, but at the end of the day, he just really fit better. He genuinely wanted the job, like I said, because it was Virginia Tech and what it stands for. He has Virginia roots, and I'm certainly partial to sons and daughters of coaches, too. That defensive edge is our brand, and understanding and appreciation for this special place, this sense of place at Virginia Tech, he fit all of those. He also fit the 10 traits or characteristics we mentioned in the previous press conference. I won't go all through all of those, but when you can find your guy and look down the list and it hits everything you were looking for, you know it's a pretty good day. So, yes, his head coaching experience, 30 years. He has been as close as, he has not had head coaching experience, but 30 years in this profession, and he's been as close as you can be to it. He's been in big games in the SEC and the Big Ten. He's been the right-hand person and confidant for James Franklin. Their regional connections, their recruiting approach, and all that he's learned, we have no doubt that he's ready. The outreach from current and former players, fans, coaches, and more speaks volumes. Coach Pry is easy to root for. Today, he met with the band, the core, and he went through the tunnel yesterday, and we're still working on those VT hand gestures. You just got to throw it up like this. It becomes natural, all right? Coach Pry has prepared his whole life for this day. I'm so excited for him and proud of him. We've planted the seeds for this, planning for this new era, this next chapter. Today is a big, big step in that direction, renewed and united energy. Hokie Nation, please welcome your new coach, Coach Brent Pry.
The worst part is they tweeted those pictures out of me trying to figure that hand gesture out. That's needed to stay in-house. It's great to be here in Blacksburg. I'm honored and I'm humbled. It's very surreal for me. I met with the team this morning. I'm looking forward to getting to know them. Obviously, that's what this is all about, the experience that those young men have. And, you know, they recognize how special Virginia Tech is. That's why they came here. And I told them that's why I came here. And it was a great meeting, and I'm anxious to get to know each one of them better. Got to meet some of the staff here, and we'll continue to do that. And, you know, I'm obviously anxious to meet all the passionate fans of Hokie Nation. My sincere thanks to President Sands, to Witt, to John Boleyn, our board of visitors, our rector, and all of the people who have made this moment possible. I appreciate your faith in me and your confidence in me, recognizing that I am the fit for Virginia Tech. Thank you to my wife, Amy. It's not easy being a coach's wife, and I appreciate her so much and being on this journey with me. My children, Colby, Madeline, and Catherine, the roller coaster we've been on the last few days, when you grab your kids and pull them out of school and tell them after 8 years they're going to uproot and move, is all part of this as well. So I appreciate y'all's support and faith in your daddy. We're blessed to be on this journey, and all of us feel very fortunate. Thank you to Coach Franklin. James is like a brother to me. 12 years. I wasn't sure I'd ever step out and do my own thing. And it took this place to do it. It took what Coach built and Bud and so many others to be the right place for me. And it was the right time. So I thank James Franklin and I thank Penn State. There have been so many other coaches that have influenced me, like all of us in this business. But no one's been bigger than my father, Jim Pry, journeyman coach, small college, played at Marshall, high school coach in West Virginia, college coach in West Virginia. He's my ultimate mentor, and I'm hoping that you know, this moment is making him very proud. I'm sure it is. I couldn't be here without him and without his influence. Of course, I want to thank Coach Beamer and Coach Foster. It's surreal to me because I looked up to you guys so much. The admiration I have for you guys. I appreciate you being here today and supporting me in this venture. Appreciate the chance you took on me in 1995. And finally, the fans, you matter to me. And I want this to be a program that you're always going to be very proud of. And I'm going to embrace the fans and embrace this community. I know how important those things are and what makes up Virginia Tech. My philosophy, you know, I've been asked that a couple of times here recently. My vision, learned this from Coach. We're gonna hire the right people. We're gonna recruit the right people that want to be at Virginia Tech. We're not gonna twist the truth. We're not gonna play games. We're gonna tell them what this place is all about and what's so special about it. And if it's not for them, it's not for them. We want people that understand what Virginia Tech's all about and can identify with the special qualities of this place. We're going to hire the right people. We're going to recruit the right people. We're going to manage and develop our roster, particularly in today's college football. That's a big task. It's a daily task. With as fluid as your roster is, it's a daily conversation about where your needs are and what needs to happen to have the best-looking roster and you know, the best group that you can put out there on Saturdays. We're going to recruit our footprint. We're going to recruit everywhere, but our footprint is going to be the emphasis. There's been a sense of pride on this football team for a lot of years about the guys from the state of Virginia coming here and being successful. I know what it meant to Coach, and I'll never forget when he said, I want to recruit guys that can drive in here with their families because it's not going to be easy. And when the tough times come, I want those moms and dads and coaches to be here. And this is a journey for these young men together as coaches, as family members, to help them be successful. But we're going to recruit our footprint. We're going to dive in. With particular emphasis in the state of Virginia, obviously. I know how good the state has been to Virginia Tech. I've had a ton of former players reach out to me in regards to that, and we're going to work our tails off to bring those Virginia kids to Blacksburg. We've had a little success doing that up to Happy Valley, so I think it ought to be easier to do that here. We're going to connect to the community, to the fans, and to the former players, as I mentioned. I'm going to be approachable. The relationships are very important to me. That's what this place is built on. And we're going to treat people right. We're going to have an open-door policy, as I told the players this morning. And we're going to be welcoming to these high school coaches. And we're going to embrace the fans. We're going to connect with the community. Relationships is where it's at for me. I seem to have aligned myself in each stop with people that believe in that's where it starts, from Coach Beamer to James Franklin and everybody in between. And that's not going to change for me. That's what's right for Virginia Tech, and that's who this place is. There was opportunities along the way, but this was the right time and the right place for me and for my family. So this is who we will be, and you have my word. We're going to work very hard to accomplish these goals and be the program that everybody knows it can be. I'm very proud to be the head football coach at Virginia Tech, and I thank you guys.
Kentucky done.
Thank you, Coach. We have wireless microphones, Carter and Sean are on either side of the room, so we'll open it up to questions from the media. I'd ask you identify yourself and your affiliation, so we'll open it up to questions for the dais. Raise your hand and we'll get you a microphone.
This is for Coach. It's Hank Kurz with the Associated Press. When you heard this job was open, did you hope they called?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an easy one.
Hey, Coach, congratulations. Mike Barber from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I'm curious, you said this is kind of one of the few spots you jumped to. Have you been thinking about becoming a head coach over the years? And do you have a short list for your staff? Do you have ideas of, you know, when it's my program, I want to do it this way? Or are you kind of working through it as you go now?
Yeah, obviously, there were stops along the way that make you think, boy, you'd like to be the head coach here one day if you could, and what a special place. And as I mentioned, Virginia Tech's one of those places. It's a dream for me to be the head coach here. As I mentioned, it's surreal. You know, I learned at an early age, you just keep your nose to the grindstone and you be the best coach you can where you are. And opportunities, you know, they can come. And we've had those opportunities that just weren't appealing enough. And when you're in a good place with good people, it's hard to leave. I'm not going to say it was easy to leave Penn State and to leave James, but this was the right opportunity. You know, you make you have relationships with coaches along the way. You do it for 30-plus years, and you align yourself with the people that are like-minded. And so I certainly have a list of men that that I feel are the right fit for Virginia Tech. I'm going to take my time and do my due diligence, as I said first, to make sure I bring the right people in here. I want people that are going to appreciate this opportunity and represent Virginia Tech the right way. So we'll be working through that staff over the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
That's awesome. For Coach Pry, Devin Shepherd, Collegiate Times. You're known for your aggressive mentality on defense with your play calling.
I wonder where I got that from, bud.
And looking for an offensive coordinator and just an offensive staff, will you be looking for a similar aggressive mentality from the offensive side of the ball?
I think when you talk about mentality, that's your whole football team. And again, I learned that here at Virginia Tech, how important mentality is. But as far as offensive coordinator and play caller, you know, we want to have an efficient offense. I want one that's going to be able to score some points, but be efficient and be explosive at times and be a problem for defensive coordinators. And trust me, I know what those offenses look like. So, you know, I'm excited about the guys that have reached out and the men I know in this profession that want to be here and want to run the offense. So we've got some good options on the table.
Coach, Andy Bitter from The Athletic. You talked a little bit about your recruiting philosophy previously. I'm curious what you learned from James Franklin, in particular at Penn State, to help kind of mold that philosophy over the years.
Details, details, details. When it comes to recruiting, he is relentless in the details, and following through and being thorough and building those relationships with the high school coach, with the trainer, with the parents, with the uncle, with the barber that cuts hair. I mean, it doesn't matter. And, you know, so I think over 12 years with James, just his relentless effort on the recruiting front and being actively involved as a head coach is very important to me. And I don't see that being any different.
Brent, David Teal with the Richmond Times-Dispatch. You described your dad as a journeyman coach. Part of that journey was in Lexington at VMI, where you went to high school. During that time, did you attend games at Lane Stadium? And what was your impression of Virginia Tech football back then?
Oh, believe me, it was my dream to play here. And I did come to camp here. I know Coach Beamer won't remember, but I did. You know, I just was never the player to be at Virginia Tech, but it was always just such a presence for me in my life. You know, my dad's coaching at VMI, a 1AA school, and here's this, you know, vaunted Virginia Tech down the road. And so, you know, it certainly was a special place to me. And you know, Brian Steinspring was a high school coach of mine in Lexington and helped get me here to Blacksburg, and I'll be forever indebted to him for that. But, you know, certainly special.
Mike Nislik from the Roanoke Times. Do you plan on calling the plays for the defense? And what goes into kind of deciding whether or not to do that as a head coach now? Kind of the pros and cons to you. How did you kind of approach that decision?
It's going to be hard to let go of calling those plays. I love calling the defense. But I'm going to hire the right person and the right group of guys. And when I'm going to be very involved early. And when it feels like it's the right time, then those play calling duties will be turned over. Whether that's after spring or after year one, we'll see what it looks like.
In the back, Jermaine.
Coach Pry, first of all, Jermaine Farrell, WFXR in Roanoke. I want to, first of all, welcome you to Blacksburg. Congratulations on the job. Well deserved, sir.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a couple things. You mentioned about the coaches that impacted you, Coach Beamer, Coach Foster, even your father. Could you tell us just one major piece of advice or one big thing you learned from each of those three gentlemen?
Yeah, treat people right. That stands out to me. It doesn't matter who it is in this facility or who it is out in town. We're going to treat people right, and we're going to do things the right way. I know that sounds cliche, but I know that's still very important to Coach, I would imagine, and very important to my father and to Bud. And, you know, that's how you do things. That's where it starts to me.
Hi, Coach. Brooke Leonard from Channel 10 in Roanoke, over here in the back. Can you describe your fondest memory of Blacksburg during your time here, and what came to mind when Witt called?
Yeah, my fondest memory came just roaring back to me yesterday when I walked out on the 50-yard line in the stadium. And I remember 1995, my first season, we were 0-2 and had lost to Boston College and Cincinnati. And we had the vaunted Hurricanes coming to town. And they had all the accolades and the shiny uniforms and the orange cleats. And we proceeded to whip that tail 13-7, if I remember right. And played great defense and ran the ball and turned the season around and won 10 straight, including a Sugar Bowl on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, that for me, that 95 Miami game is my fondest memory. And maybe the experience after the Sugar Bowl with Wes Worsham and J.C. Price on Bourbon Street. Come on, J.C. We were...
Okay, yeah. Always good to get Worsham, by the way, is Worsham Field at Lane Stadium, so it sounded like Wes probably had to write Max on the credit card.
We can't cut now. That was the best part of the whole press conference. I want to hear how you and Coach Price are having a good time down there at Bourbon Street.
Holy
cow. Congratulations on to Coach Price. I'm sure that he could tell the emotion.
Yep.
I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, you get the chance to be the guy. In a place where he has a little experience and knows a little bit about what it's all about, but now he is the man in charge.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, big day in Blacksburg, Virginia. Brent Pry, new man in charge, taking over. We look forward to having him on the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But a lot to look over, that 20 minutes. Again, this is a really important time for Virginia Tech, Wes. So this hire needs to work.
Right? Yeah.
Big picture.
And you get the impression, too, that there's a lot of things coming into play here, right? I mean, the connectivity with the fan base is something. Look, and we're going to – the compare and contrast here is going to happen, okay? And there's no – Justin Fuente is a good football coach, and Justin Fuente will be somebody else's football coach at some point down the road, right?
That's right.
But there was clearly in this search for Brent Pry, there was clearly a seek of a connection to Frank Beamer, Bud Foster, the bygone – I don't want to say bygone because it is the legacy that those guys have with Virginia Tech football in 29 years, right? I mean, let's be honest. And the old adage that pops in your head is you don't want to be the guy, you want to be the next guy. And look, we're disappointed, like I'm sure Hokie fans are, didn't work for Justin Fuente. But the personality piece of this also comes into play.
Whit Babcock made that perfectly clear before you knew whatever direction they were going to go in for their next coach. He made that perfectly clear.
He did.
That connection between the fans, the community, and my football coach at Virginia Tech needs to be real. And it's not to point the finger at somebody else and say, you didn't do this, but that's what they were looking for.
Right.
And I thought it was emphasized by Brent in that press conference. I mean, he brought it up two or three times unprovoked.
That's correct.
That was going to be a priority for him. So obviously that was a box that had to be checked. But at the end of the day, you got to win, right? Again, you can give me the great personalities or you can give me Bill Belichick, but you've got to win games.
That is correct.
Right? I mean, the press conference is one thing. On Saturdays, though, Hokie Nation wants to go into Lane Stadium, win games, and compete for not only ACC titles, but also let's put our nose in there and win a national championship.
Exactly. And I think here's the thing. When you get in coaching searches sometimes, you get into these discussions where behind closed doors, schools make statements about what they're looking for that they say, well, we're not going to move off this part right here. Virginia Tech's coaching search had to evolve. Now, the 11 points of light, 10 light items that Whit Babcock listed, those are all fine and achievable items, right? But there was also a desire in this search, too, that they wanted someone that had been a P5 head coach. Obviously, they did not get that part, or at least they were willing to sacrifice that to get the other things accomplished that they wanted. There were other elements about this search that were competitive elements. We talked about that, right? Last week when Florida came open, all those other things. This carousel, this particular cycle of coaching is going to be interesting because of the other jobs that were in the solar system, if you will. And I think they made a very smart hire to achieve a lot of the objectives that Whit Babcock laid out. Brent Pry, I'll be as interested in his staff. We know J.C. Price. We know how that fits. But he rolled off a lot of people that are connected to Virginia Tech that he's come in contact with. Brian Steinspring, longtime offensive coordinator during very successful Virginia Tech times, right? I mean, that's going to be interesting to see if there are coaches like that that come back. What's the influence and demographic from age? Younger guys, older guys, right, Pac? There's a lot of trees this guy. He worked with Jeff Monken at Army, or at Georgia Southern, rather, who's now the head coach at Army. He worked with Tommy West at Memphis, Ricky Bussell at Louisiana, who was a longtime Beamer aide, Bill Bleel at Western Carolina back in the 90s after he left his GA days. How many different trees does he pull for? And here's the other thing he talked about. We're going to recruit the footprint. That goes back to you talking about the Commonwealth yesterday. That part right there, the players leaving Virginia, I'm not so sure that's going to be the give and take that it's been the last couple of years.
Well, that has to change for not only Virginia Tech, it also needs to change for Virginia.
Right.
And there have been so many folks have poached that state for great, not good, great talent.
Right.
That leaves the state and puts both Virginia and Virginia Tech in a tough spot because you want to be able to say, guess what? Homegrown, they come to our house. And again, I know Bronco's trying to sell that, and obviously Brent Pry will try to do the exact same thing. But Wes, when you look, why I emphasize this has got to be a home run is when you look at the last 20 years of Virginia Tech football, there was a run in the early part of the century when Frank Beamer had it going on, right? They basically controlled the ACC. It was like everybody jumped on Virginia Tech's bandwagon when they joined the league because Clemson was struggling. Florida State was the tail end of the Bobby Bowden deal.
Right.
You know, Wake had a spike. BC had a spike. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of all over the place. But Virginia Tech was really the stabilizer. They were the key in this conference. And just look at the numbers. From 2002 to 2011, you win 75% of your games. 10-win seasons were an automatic in Blacksburg. They had an identity. They played great, tough defense. The crowds were great. You go to Blacksburg, you weren't going to win there. Forget about it. 9 top 25 finishes, going to New Year's Day 6 game, no big deal. It's commonplace. Look at the last 10 years here, from 2012 to 21.
Right.
I mean, 1 10-win season, 2 top 25 finishes, not sniffing a New Year's Day 6, 0 conference championships. You now go through another transition. And there's
only one appearance, by the way, in the conference championship game.
Right. So, I mean, you could try to go back to yesteryear, if you will, the Frank Beamer era, right? Bud Foster, Frank, and all those guys. I get all that. That's why this has to work.
Right.
This is a really important time for Virginia Tech football.
Yeah. And staff composition, as I said earlier, I think is going to be fascinating to watch with Brent Pry. There are a lot of coaches that have come through James Franklin, that tree at Vanderbilt and at Penn State that he would have worked with, you know. I mean, from an offensive and a decent defensive perspective as well. There are a lot of former Hokie players who are assistant football coaches. You get the impression that there we've seen that rejuvenation at Carolina, right, with former Carolina players being involved with Mack Brown. You almost get the sense that's going to be a big staple of what's getting ready to happen in Blacksburg.
We're going to see. But, you know, when I think, though, of, like, James Franklin and Penn State, I think defense. I think defense. And to me, watching this transition where Brent now is the guy, he gets to put his staff together, his philosophy, whatever that may be, that's going to be the intrigue, right? Mm-hmm. I expect there to be solid defense. I mean, you got to, you know, this guy's coming from a defensive side, but can Virginia Tech figure out what they're going to be offensively to be explosive and get people excited? I think Virginia Tech's ready to win again. I think it's as simple as that. I mean, I don't care if you beat somebody 7-3. As long as we got the 7, let's move on, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you want to win, and it's important. I've said it so many times on this show. Yeah. It's critical for Virginia Tech to be good for this league in terms of the national perception.
Yeah, yeah.
It's critical.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Always an interesting climate with coaching changes. We're seeing it play out nationally, obviously, this week. But the other thing that we always used to be able, when coaching changes occur, kind of forecast right away, right? The reason you could forecast, there wasn't many transfers, and there was no portal. Now, Brent Pry takes over at Virginia Tech. Obviously, Duke is still looking for their next head guy. So what we know about Virginia Tech and what Virginia Tech will be come spring could be two different things.
It will be two different things. That's a guaranteed lock.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why you can't crystal ball it.
Yeah.
But like I told you, I've never met the guy or spoken to him. And, you know, watching a new guy have his chance and kind of create his own mold here, and that's what he's going to do. So, again, I expect him to play good defense. That's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
That's not been a big deal at Virginia Tech. They've always had really good defensive players and got after folks. So I suspect that Coach Pry will put together a staff that will play really good D. The question is, what will they look like offensively? Because like I told you, when I think of James Franklin football, I don't necessarily think of explosive first to 50. I think of, hey, we're going to bloody your nose and you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, you're right.
So, and Brent even had that look in his eye like he'd still go tackle. Every time I look at him, I think of Jack Ham.
Yeah. No.
Don't ask me why. Just ask him. I know it's a Penn State guy, but just telling you.
Look forward to talking to Coach Pry tomorrow here on the show. We told you earlier today in our program, V-Week on the ESPN family of networks and within the Disney company itself. And, of course, it hits home in the ACC. Jim Valvano's great legacy at North Carolina State and the 1983 run to the national championship. But in his work in television, he also garnered a lot of friends and a lot of loyalty from people across college basketball and across the sports world. Well, in 1993, ESPN started the ESPY Awards. And that night, they presented the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. And Jim Valvano was the first recipient. So on this night, in 1993, Valvano boarded a private plane, sick and dying of cancer, with Mike Krzyzewski and flew to New York to be part of this event. His friends, Dick Vitale and Mike Krzyzewski, co-helped Valvano get the award that night. And, of course, the marvelous speech we all know. Well, now here's Coach Krzyzewski and Dick Vitale remembering their friend.
We need your help.
And then as we get towards the end, you know, that's where it's going to pick up.
We are starting the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research.
Okay, I'm ready.
Dear Victory, we once had a very dear friend.
His name was Jimmy Valvano, and he was obsessed with you.
He loved you, Victory. This was a man who lived to win.
As a basketball coach, he won. It drove us nuts because he was our competitor before he was our friend.
That was Jimmy. You had to love him. He was a winner always. Then Jimmy got sick.
Jimmy, who had made a life out of winning, suddenly didn't feel like he was winning much anymore.
Cancer has a way of doing that. It was scary for him.
It was terrifying for us.
And it was terrifying for us. Things got bad.
Crying on the phone, sobbing over not getting to walk his daughter down the aisle bed. And then he realized something.
There was still a way he could win.
Jimmy gave a speech that changed the world.
Time is very precious to me. I don't know how much I have left, and I have some things that I would like to say.
See, Jimmy wasn't just sick by this point. Jimmy was dying.
I flew up with him from North Carolina, and on that plane, his wife, Pam, was holding this big gold bag. That was Jimmy's vomit bag. He filled it on that flight many times over.
We didn't think he'd be able to get on stage. We thought we'd bring him up the mic, have him say thank you, and be done with it.
He told us plain and clear, get me on that stage.
Get me on that stage.
What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give maybe some hope to others.
The V Foundation will go on to become Jimmy's greatest win.
The foundation has awarded over $225 million for cancer research.
That speech started it all. It was his final, most important victory. Jimmy died 6 weeks after giving that speech.
See, Jimmy understood something about you, Victory. He realized that in life, the game is never over.
There is no final buzzer. You never have to lose.
You keep fighting, and you inspire people.
And then once you're gone, they keep the fight going.
You just have to remember his words. Don't give up.
Don't ever give up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Respectfully yours, Mike and Dick.
I just got one last thing. I urge all of you, to enjoy your life, the precious moments you have.
Powerful.
Woo. Tell the truth there, huh? Don't forget v.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And two guys in particular, their friendship with Jim Valvano, well documented, but Dick Vitale's work with pediatric cancer is phenomenal. Mike Krzyzewski's work to do events and what we were talking about it with the tickets in October, right? The tickets to the Duke Carolina game, that last regular season home game at Cameron for Coach K. There you have it. That's the kind of work those guys do. And they do it in honor of their friend. And, man, what a character. What an inspiration he became in his life with that that speech in March of 93.
It moves me every time I see it.
Yeah, it's great. It is. And you know what? And we were fortunate to be following this league back then.
Yeah.
And he was, man, he was unbelievable. That guy, Valvano, he came in this league and stood the league on its ear because he was the basketball coach at Iona. And yeah, came in this league.
What's this New York guy doing down here on Tobacco Road?
As Crimmins likes to say, we were the young guns, Mark. It was Jimmy and Mike and me and Terry. Well, Terry was older, but yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, too. You know, Dean Smith, legendary.
Yep.
Right. Incredible coach. And that's, you know, the league had Lefty and Terry Holland. And, you know, all of a sudden you got this Crimmins guy and this Krzyzewski guy that nobody knew how to pronounce his name.
And then Valvano.
This Valvano talking bagels in New York City. And that's not going to work here.
It's crazy.
Hey, not only did it work, it was awesome. And he was great. Yep. The league was unbelievable.
And I went to high school with Jim's daughter, Nicole. I knew Jamie a little bit, Leanne, her two sisters, Pam, his widow, they're phenomenal people. I think of them this week, too. Mm-hmm. I think of them and the lives and legacies that Jim left us. So, been a busy morning. We've had a lot of ground to cover. We got an on this date when we come back and more before we wrap the Thursday show and a big program tomorrow. People are going to sit right here.
Not just people.
Real, like,
movers and shakers.
That's it, movers and shakers.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
ACC women's hoops better than ever. How about a Sunday double dip for you? High noon. We'll send you off to the KFC Yum Center for Belmont and number 10 Louisville. That means Chester's favorite player, Haley Van Lith.
He loves Haley.
No question. 2 o'clock, number 11 Tennessee to Blacksburg to meet Kenny Brooks and the Hokies. Elizabeth Kittley, 7-1 Virginia Tech. All here, ACC Network, Sunday. Also available streaming live on the ESPN app.
Ladies did a nice job getting off to a good start in the ACC Big Ten Challenge last night.
Yes, sir.
4-2. It was a good stop.
We got a big schedule tonight.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is at Michigan State. Penn State's at Boston College. And Northwestern at Clemson. Those are on ACC Network. ESPN2's got NC State at Indiana. That's a rematch of that Sweet 16 game last year. ESPN has Michigan at Louisville. And also Iowa at Duke. You see Miami at Maryland, Florida State at Illinois, the other ball games on the slate.
Yeah, that NC State-IU game is a big deal. Moore's got him up there in the number 2 spot there behind the Gamecocks.
Tell you what, the old simpatico for the Deeks continues here on the Packer and Durham program. Dave Clawson with us earlier in the show, the ACC Football Coach of the Year. 15 years ago today at rainy Jacksonville. 15 years ago today, Georgia Tech wearing the blue and the gold hats to Shard Choice. There's Reggie Ball looking to throw downfield for Calvin Johnson, and it's deflected and intercepted. All right, here's Wake on a catch. Now look for 96 in the white, you WWE fans here in a moment. Look for 96 right there, 96 in the blue. That's Roman Reigns chasing the ball carrier and ultimately making the tackle. Jim Grobe, what a good man. I know he's happy for Wake Forest to be in this championship game.
No doubt.
By the way, Riley Skinner would have liked to have joined us on the show today. Couldn't join us today. Tea time.
That's okay.
When you're Riley Skinner, it is so good, Pac, isn't it?
I don't worry, but when people can go play golf and drink wine before noon, hey, knock yourself out, man.
Riley good Skinner. For you. Riley said he will be in Charlotte.
Oh, no doubt.
Repping 06.
There's
you
no
bet.
Question. He'll have the ring on. And
what about Aaron Curry, John Abadi? We get some of those cats up in there, too?
Like I said, if you got it, flaunt it.
Oh, I'm going to tell you what, the Deeks will be on. That sounds like the Panthers are coming to town, too, now. Dan Marino. Sound Louis Riddick going to be holed up in Buffalo, fired up, ready to ride, huh?
Yeah, but Marino doesn't have one of those ACC championship rings.
No, he does not. Neither does Louis
Riddick.
Riley
Skinner go over there and say, hey, Dan Marino, I really respect you, but
Marino might turn around and show him what a Canton ring looks like. We got a transaction in Charlottesville.
Oh, man.
Cavman.
How about this news?
Cavman is set to retire. Chris Kirschnick is going to retire his feathered hat after 20 seasons riding around Scott Stadium. Cavman is going to retire.
You know, I appreciate the job he's done, right? You know how I am with horses. I get a little skittish around the horses. So
that
respect.
In the ocean.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's kind of hard to say goodbye coming off a loss to your arch rival on your home turf. That's a hard way to walk out.
I just wasn't ready for this. Wasn't ready for it.
I saw that yesterday, and I was like, man, gone? You lose at home to Virginia Tech? You walk?
One Saturday you're here, the next Saturday you're retired?
I mean, that's tough.
What are we doing
it's
here?
It's a tough way to walk away, man.
How we recover?
I don't know. Go to the farm, I guess, right around. I don't know what you do. Couldn't tell you.
We're going to have a new calf man?
You have to. You can't. I mean, that's a part of the tradition.
I would think, right?
Yeah. Surely Bronco's got some contacts for a horseman.
Well, I would think.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.